The best of both conventional and alternative medicine. It's the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, hello there. Okay, I was doing some research on stress, and I know if you listen to Radio MD at all, I mean, and there's a good reason you're going to hear about stress, chronic stress, acute stressors, the stressors of our modern day. It's a good reason because there's just so much of it. So I continually sort of do research and understand things that are going on, not only in my own personal life, but certainly in my practice and with my patients. And I read this quote, and it was kind of like a little bit of a knife into my heart, and it says this, okay, and it's by the lovely, I guess he was kind of known as the father of stress, Hans Selye. I don't know how to say it exactly. I've said it many, many different ways. So if anybody's listening and you know the correct pronunciation, please give me a shout. You can tweet us at Your Radio MD or follow us certainly on Facebook as well. And let me know how you pronounce Hans Selye. So it's S-E-L-Y-E, but he was the Hungarian endocrinologist, otherwise known as the father of stress. He was sort of around during he was alive in the early 80s, 60s, 70s, died in the early 80s. But here's what his quote says. Every stress leaves an indelible scar, and the organism, okay, so read you, read your body, the organism pays for its survival after a stressful situation by becoming a little older. Boy, if stress does one thing to us, or I should say unmanaged, chronic, confounded, multiple stress does one thing to us, it completely accelerates this aging process. But one of the things that I really want to talk about as it relates to stress is something that I've stumbled on in my research, certainly in my journeys with my own search to modify my stressors or to protect my body from the multiple stressors. It's something called stress-induced nutrient depletion. All right. So what the heck is that? Well, I'm going to tell you, and I'm also going to tell you the best thing is what you can do about it, because it's happening to you even if you don't know. Because I think that our modern day chronic stressors and the way that we respond to them, that is the upstream, if you will, sort of situation that is going on that's causing all of the downstream, and I would say all of the downstream chronic issues that we have and we see on the rise all the time, despite the fact that we've got lovely commentators on Radio MD and people who are just shouting at the mountaintops about how we can do better and be better as healthy people. All of our chronic diseases continue to be on the rise. What the heck is going on there, right? So you think about cardiovascular disease and diabetes and obesity and cancer. My dear, we've got so much good information out there and we just can't seem to turn this tide around, right? So here's what's going on. So let me reference Dr. Selye again. See, I just changed the pronunciation because I'm completely, I think, insecure about it. All right, somebody help me out here. Go ahead, tweet, post, you can do it. All right, so he basically, and this is really, really important work, and it still lasts to this modern day. He actually borrowed the term stress from physics, okay, to describe basically what an organism's physiologically does to perceive stressful events. And he eloquently explained his stress model in something called the general adaptation syndrome. I mean, I was fascinated with his work. And he basically stated in this syndrome that an event that threatens us, okay, the organism, leads to three stages as far as the body responding. So the alarm stage is first, okay? So basically your brain perceives a stressor and you go right into that fight or flight. That response, and it's basically your sympathetic nervous system. That's part of your autonomic nervous system that holds that fight or flight. It's stimulated. And the body's resources are mobilized. There is a heck of a lot going on, okay? Because if you think about it, fight or flight. You're going to stay there and fight like the Dickens, or you're going to get out of there. So you've got nutrients, building blocks, amino acids, etc., that are mobilized. At the end of the day, let's say, just to make this simple, you're going to get energy out to your extremities so you can run like the Dickens, okay? Or stay there and fight off. Let's just think about being attacked by a bear. All right. And of course, that energy is going to be taken away from other bodily processes like bone growth or remodelization or digestion, etc. Okay. Those are long-term building complexes that when you are in survival mode, forget about it. Your body is going to take care of you by shutting those things down. So then there's resistance. So the body resists and compensates. And then the parasympathetic nervous system, that's the opposite. That's where you rest, relax, repair. It attempts to return things back to sort of normal. Get, you know, to sort of like, it's trying to get homeostasis back because all of this extra energy, these nutrients are mobilized. And so the parasympathetic in the resistance phase tries to get everything back to normal against the stressor, but you know, your body still is on alert. And then there's the exhaustion phase. All right. If the stressor or stressors continue beyond your body's capacity, you start to become exhausted and the body is susceptible then to disease and death. And I see this as a slippery slope all the time happening in my practice. All right. So here's the thing that I think is really, really, really important to talk about, and something that I think that might be missing. Because as I enter my 14th year of practice, I'm completely convinced that the traditional definition of stress, which is simply geared towards a physical event or a mental state requiring our body to respond, it just doesn't cut it anymore. We live in a society where there are stressful influences coming at us from all different directions. I mean, these stressors too, they're different than when we had a natural relationship with stress or a more natural relationship with stress, where it would maybe be the locusts were coming and we needed to protect the crops. And then a couple weeks would go by and a polar bear would come out and we would have to decide what to do there. These stressors are multiple, confounded, and chronic. And making the situation worse, and this is what I see all the time, and I have to admit, I might actually even partake in some of these responses to our modern day stressors, is the increased use of things to medicate our sleep-wake cycle. Because you're exhausted, let's say you're wired but tired at night, so what do? You go for a couple glasses of wine or a sleep aid, which leaves you groggy in the morning, drugged up in the morning, let's say droggy, okay? And so what do you pounce on then? You pounce on your adrenal glands to get them going, because what do you need? You need caffeine. So there's alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, sugary and energy drinks. People are doing this in response, and this makes the situation so much worse. Now, we have this general adaptation syndrome sort of eloquently explained to us by, let's just call him Dr. Hans at this point in time. What I think is missing is the fact that, you know, after what would happen with exhaustion and then the stress that we perceived, right? Because we can have perceived stressors. We could not even be in stress, but we could have post-traumatic stress sort of disorder, what have you, where you just are like a cat on a hot tin roof because you think that you're in danger no matter what the reality really is. There's tons of things. Because of course, when we get overly stressed, what do we have? We have a decrease in stress resistance. We all become cat on a hot tin roof, right? The phone can ring and you might think it's your attorney calling you because you're in trouble again, depending on what your past is. Okay, so we've got this perceived stressor. And then once we go through this whole cascade of your body creating hormones to make the stress response happen, in the olden days, what happened is there'd be something called recovery. All right, we'd get into recovery. And during that recovery stage, we would have all of those nutrients that were mobilized to create the stress response and survival in the first place, they would all be repleted. So if you think about the word replete, it's the opposite of deplete. When you get things depleted, you want to replete them. And so you're ready to go again. Well, this is what's not happening in our modern day. We are not getting into recovery. And then because of that, because in recovery, when you get your nutrients repleted, and the stress-induced nutrient depletion is because we are getting into no recovery. We have multiple confounded stressors that just do not end. And guess what? Our body is never going to go, oh, I've got enough stress hormone. Kind of like, hey, you've got enough thyroid hormone. Your higher brain center goes, hey, you got enough. Okay, we'll send a little signal down to the gland. You don't need to pull out any more thyroid hormone. Well, because it's a survival mechanism, that's not going to happen. So when you've got stress-induced nutrient depletion, you got to make sure vitamin C, magnesium, calcium are on board. And if you are not getting a recovery, you at least have to replete those nutrients. All right, this is Dr. Holly Lucille, Mindful Medicine on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at yourradiomd.com. Or I should just say Radio MD.